Hey everybody, Cody Strait here, and welcome to this episode of the Upward Spiral podcast. And in today's episode, we're continuing with the theme of the updraft, which is the more condensed version of our more long-form podcast, where we just pick a topic and we hit it hard and fast. And in this episode, we are discussing the topic of self-reflection. And we go through an array of different points relative to self-reflection. We talk about how we can all too often have an internal confirmation bias, that the ego is the gatekeeper to our minds and hearts whenever we go through a self-reflection process. We talk about the importance of mentors, and Davin reflects on his time as an Army Ranger and the importance and lessons he learned from mentorship there. We also talk about how mentoring should make you uncomfortable. That's where the growth comes from. And then we cap it off talking about the after action review process and the three-step process associated with after action reviews and how you can apply that specifically to self-reflection. So thank you so much for being here. Guys, enjoy the show. You want to go first, or you want me to go first on this thing as far as the intro? And then I got a topic I'm going to hit you with. I'm ready, ripe and ready to go. Do you want to receive first, or do you want to give?
I'll give first.
All right. That sounds good. You do the intro. Get it.
My man. How you doing, Cody?
I'm all right, man. I'm good. I'm excited to be here on what is it? Episode 3 of The Updraft, the violent explosion of positivity, as you called it.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about The Updraft a little bit last night as I was laying in bed, and I think it's a little bit synonymous, if you're not careful, with the Dutch oven.
Okay. How so?
I mean, and not the cooking device, if I may be completely clear. You have the look of a man that doesn't know about the Dutch oven.
I know of the Dutch oven in the sense of cooking, and I've got one and enjoy it very much. So beyond that, I have no context of what you're talking about.
Okay, so the Dutch oven, as I know it, outside of the cooking utensil, is if you were to pass gas underneath the covers and then pull it over somebody's head...
that is top shelf.
That's a Dutch oven.
That's top shelf. I did not know that, and I'm sure the Dutch are really proud to be associated with that particular act right there. Like some of the classiest, most artistic people in the world.
There you go. Look, for our listeners, don't pretend half of you guys haven't heard of the Dutch oven. So the upper draft or the updraft, Cody, I digress a little bit. I think of it as you were to pass gas underneath the covers, and then you kind of, you know, do the quick cover waft, mm-hmm. and then up out of the cover shoots some of your, you know, residual gas, the updraft.
Well, look, let me just remind the listeners that Davin and I are very clear on you like us or you don't. And, you know, we really crossed that threshold whenever we were talking crap about Toby Keith last time. And we're interested in embracing it. If you love this, then you're going to love it. Otherwise, you're going to totally hate it. And Davin, I just appreciate you continuing to help the audience really make a decision as to whether they love it or they hate it. That's fantastic.
Violence of action, man. All day long.
Absolutely. But dude, I'm thrilled to be here on the updraft, where, as a reminder to the audience, the whole point of this session by comparison to what we do in what you're drinking, what you're thinking, and the improvement movement that we do, where that's more long form, right? What is consistent, whereas the updraft is short form, where we put a topic out there and we talk about it and discuss it within the time constraints of 20 minutes once we get that out there. But what is consistent across this is organic conversation. Davin and I, neither of us really know exactly what it is that we're all going to discuss while we're here. What is important about this being organic, Davin?
It sparks good, honest conversation that is unscripted, that is just top of mind for us. And oftentimes, here's the neat thing about it, Cody, is that we end up discussing a topic that's a little bit outside of what is proposed.
Yeah.
You know, we just kind of let it go where it goes. And sometimes we stay nails on track, nails on topic, but oftentimes we end up discussing something that's a little bit on the periphery of the original topic, because that's just where it takes us. And that's okay. And that's the beauty of about it being organic, is that unscripted element.
Absolutely. It's a genuine organic conversation that in many cases carries us to a place that neither you nor I would have scripted if we put some forethought into this. And so the ideas are more of a, you can see them real time evolving and blossoming. And because what we do here is where you share some ideas and I'll share some ideas, we actually wind up learning from each other and landing in a better place. And so you as the audience, the listeners, the watchers, because we're doing this also on YouTube now, you're able to see this stuff unfold pretty much real time. So we're taking a trip together. We're taking a journey here on the Updraft. And so because what we're trying to do here is make this Updraft thing a quick thing, Davin, let's go ahead and get into it. And what you're going to do for the audience again is you're going to give me a topic. I have no choice in the matter as to what we're going to talk about. And in this one, you're giving me a topic and I will then start to discuss it. And once that topic is put out there, we've got 20 minutes to talk about it, discuss it, and wrap it up, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so what's the topic for today, my friend?
Okay, the topic near and dear to my heart, especially kind of with where I am with my health and business and life and that kind of stuff. And it's a topic I think that is incredibly important for all leaders, all professionals across the board to be able to implement into their personal and professional life, Cody, and it's self-reflection.
Self-reflection.
The ability, Cody, to objectively audit your performance in life, your performance as a professional, your performance as a husband, father, etc., and lay it out on the table and find ways through that medium to get better, which is a little bit of the namesake about the upward spiral and about what we're trying to do, right? Is it not?
Absolutely.
Relentlessly pursue excellence.
Yes, absolutely. And in every possible way and incrementally get better so that at the end of our days, we've done the best that we possibly could and given the world the maximum amount that we possibly could, right? So,
and the optimum word there, before I turn it over to you, is relentlessly pursue excellence, not blindly pursue excellence. Mm. And one of the elements, one of the feedback mechanisms that we use to make sure that we're not blind as a leader, that we're not blind as a professional, is self-reflection.
I love this. I love this. I hate it, to be honest with you. I hate it and I love it. Okay. So with that being said, I am hitting, and I want you to do this on your end too. So we're seeing this thing. I am hitting my stopwatch right now, 20 minute cap. Let's get after this. So self-reflection, there are few things that are needed more for individuals and to grow than self-reflection. Okay. So it is hard and it is difficult to do, but before we even get to that point, there's a lot of people out there, you know them and I know them, that it probably has not yet occurred to them that an individual should reflect on themselves. They should, right? Personally, professionally, they should audit themselves so that they can look at, where am I doing well in life and where am I not doing not so well? What am I happy about? What am I proud of? What am I not so proud of? And why is it that I exhibit certain behaviors that yield results that I'm not happy with? Why is it that I do that, right? Now, there's a lot of people, like I said, that it doesn't even dawn on them that they should reflect. So let's just start with something really basic, guys. Reflect on yourself, okay? And give yourself the time and the space to do that in a quiet area, wherever, whether it is you're on a train and you can put some headphones in and close your eyes for a moment and you can think about things, or go into a room where you can have some quiet space. But you need some quiet space. Give yourself some quiet space to be able to actually reflect on yourself. And do this not just as a once a year thing or a once a month thing. Like try to spend a little moment on this every day, going to a quiet place, getting to a place where you're centered and reflect on yourself. What am I proud of? What did I do well? What did I not do so well on? Okay. So do you find, Davin, just before I go into this any further, that what I'm saying is accurate, that there's a lot of people out there that don't even know that they should reflect on themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of the issue with it, Cody, is that they don't establish a benchmark for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you measuring? What are you reflecting against?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why things like goals and core values and some of those foundational elements of us in life are so important. Otherwise, what are you reflecting against? What are you reflecting about? Again, we've talked about it multiple times. It's a bit of that kind of looking and walking towards the horizon.
Right.
And that's why, you know, one of the foundational elements, I think, to be able to be a person that implements self-reflection and auditing is, what are you measuring against? What are you reflecting against? It just what you want to be in the end, or is it something, what are you, or is it relative to your goals for the month, the quarter?
That's a very good point. And they could also be like, how did this particular interaction or engagement go with my child or my spouse or my coworker or my boss or this person that I met today? And did I perform? Am I happy about the way that I performed? Right. So you're right. Whatever it is that you, like, before you start reflecting on yourself, like, you need to have some sort of goals and ambitions, whether they're macro or they're micro, before you can actually then reflect on that. But here, as you sit down for self-reflection, it can be a very difficult thing to do. And oftentimes whether or not you think of yourself in a positive way, or you think of yourself in a negative way, your brain will provide confirmation bias to support those thoughts. Okay. So the whole adage, whatever it is you think you are, you're right. Okay. If you believe this, you're right. If you believe something to be good, you're right. If you believe something to be bad, you're right. If you, whatever it is, right? So you have to understand that your framework of thinking, you need to be very mindful of it so that you can ultimately land in a positive place. That's what you want to do. You want to be able to land in a positive place, something that's helpful and not something that's hurtful. If you just beat yourself up and rub your nose in the sand, and that's all you get out of this self-reflection session, you didn't have as much of self-reflection. You just beat yourself up, right? So what do you think about that? Because there's a couple of things I want to get into as far as matters of the ego in a second. But what do you think about that, though?
You're right. What I'm hearing you say is that your thoughts and your belief and your self-doubt potentially can become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely.
Because you're looking for that confirmation bias that, see, I knew that I wasn't good at this. And so rather than being objective about your performance and objective in that reflection, you're going to seek out those moments that allow you to confirm that you're not good enough.
Right.
In this case. Now, I think an interesting part of that, Cody, is the other side of it. And that's being too positive. And I think that's where you're probably going to dive in with ego a little bit, is that the lack of ability to view things objectively, negatively, can also happen on the positive side as well.
Right. Right.
And we see this in business all the time with, I mean, where we work, Cody, we've seen it. The adage that I like to use is, you start to like the taste of your own dog food.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this is why I think self-reflection, and even outside of that, is feedback from peers, and we'll get into that here in a little bit, is so incredibly important, because it allows you to remain honest. It holds you accountable, and it allows you to be objective about your performance, good, bad, or indifferent. Thoughts?
Yes. The answer, of course, is yes. I completely agree. Right. So I just finished a book. You know, you and I talk about this a lot. Like, I'm an avid reader and love. And when I say reader, to be clear, I'm an Audible guy. I am an audiobook guy. It's extremely hard for me to read books, but I can just process them real quick through audiobooks. So Audible is not a sponsor of this, but man, I freaking love audiobooks. And so I just finished this book called Thanks for the Feedback. And you know, one of the things that they were saying is that the construct of is something good or the construct of something is bad, it's made up, right? And it's somewhat subjective. It's largely subjective. Okay. And there's also nuance. And so there's a tremendous amount of nuance, right? There's not just some things are black and white, but most of life is not. Most of life is a gray area. And I might think something is good until I talk with you and you provide perspective, and that can alter my perception of what is good or is bad. But let's talk then about actually self-reflection, and let's get into this, okay? There are two very easy paths that you can go down. There's a pathway that you can go down, like I said just a moment ago, where you beat yourself up. It's confirmation bias, like, I suck and this is why I'm awful. Then there's the aspect of, I am so amazing. Oh my gosh, this is incredible, right? And are either of those really based in reality? I would say no. Are they, do they touch on reality? Yes, they do, because you are awesome, but also you did suck, right? And so oftentimes there's something in between. But what I have personally found is that my ego has been a bit of a gatekeeper to my mind and my heart and my soul relative to my own feedback, but also feedback from other people that I trust, and be like, how could this feedback that they gave me be accurate? There's no possible way, because this is, I'm not that, right? And my ego is prevents me from hearing what it is that they have to say. So I would say that one of the first things that I had to do, or I continue to have to do, is check my ego at the door whenever I do self-reflection and say, let's put the ego aside. And with ego, it's often synonymous with judgment. Okay. And what has helped me, and various mentors that I've had have said this, like, and it's a lot of like Eastern philosophy as well, is like, don't judge or be slow to judge. And it is so easy for us as men, as Americans, as people, or whatever it is, to just instantly judge something. This is good, this is bad, or whatever. Like, slow down for a second, right? Don't pass judgment. Evaluate it, analyze it, sit with it, try it on, and then see how it feels and see what other truths that could reveal in the pursuit of learning. And that, and I'm going to pause after this, and I want your feedback on this, is like, for me, so much of self-reflection is, what can I learn from this? What did I learn? And whether it's about my behavior, or what can I pick up as to, here's something that I learned that I can add this into my repertoire. And it's a constant ever formation of you as a person, is what we're trying to do. What do you think about all that?
The word that I wrote down when you were talking was mentor. Because again, I think the ability to effectively utilize self-reflection is a learned process. You know, it's not natural for us as young leaders. It's not natural for us as people to really sit down and want to do a whole bunch of self-reflection about what you did poorly, generally speaking. And this is where having a good mentor, having good leadership, especially in your formidable leadership years, is so incredibly important. You know, and I think a lot about the military and my days as a platoon sergeant in the military, my days as a first sergeant. And for our listeners that aren't familiar with it, there's enlisted and then there's officers. And within your standard infantry platoon, there's your senior non-commissioned officer, your senior enlisted is a sergeant first class. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's generally 41 enlisted people and there's one officer. And that officer, you know, by doctrine is in charge of that platoon. But that platoon sergeant is his advisor. And there's the practical application of leadership, and make no mistake about who is in charge of that platoon. And if it's done well, it's the platoon sergeant. And you got to think, you have this young, probably 22, 23 year old lieutenant who steps in and believes that he's in charge. And he's, you know, he's got a little bit of schooling underneath his belt, zero leadership time. And then you've got this salty, sometimes mid-30s, late-30s sergeant first class who's, you know, a little bit broken down, probably got a divorce or two underneath his belt. And this this dude has seen the world, right? Like, yeah, you know, yeah. The good, bad, and indifferent that comes along with it, Cody. And one of the primary responsibilities of a platoon sergeant is to provide mentorship for that platoon leader and to show him what right looks like and give him that feedback. Even though technically that platoon leader, that officer is his boss, giving him that mentorship, giving him that guidance, teaching him how to be receptive to feedback.
Right.
And in turn, how to reflect on his leadership style and how to get better. And there's a real world business application to that all day long. And we see it done well. You and I have seen it done well, and we've seen it done poorly. And we've seen the results that yields on both sides of the coin, have we not?
Of course we have. And it's, look, if you want to, so many things in life that if you want to wind up in a better place, if you want to improve, you have, like, there's nothing better that you can do than find mentors, people that you respect. And there's not many of them. Again, you don't want 15, 25 mentors. Get a small handful of them relative to areas that you really respect them in. And this is the difficult part. It's like a student teacher type of a relationship. And this is where you have to enter into that relationship. If you're going to do it, you have to enter into it in a humble way. You have to be open to their perspective. And again, for me, it's like I talk about the ego is the guard that starts at my ears. Like, no, I can't let that message in. So you have to be humble, let that message in, and understand that they provide their perspective is nothing more than to want to help you grow. They don't want to do you harm, they want to do you good. And whilst what they say might be difficult for you to hear, you have to understand that it's coming from a good place, but also their job, like, is to point out blind spots. We all have blind spots, and that's what they are there to do, is say, here's something that you may not be seeing. It's in your blind spot, but you need to, I'm going to shine a light on it for you, and you need to objectively look at it and then consider it. And that's the kind of stuff that you can do in self-reflection, is like, don't judge. Don't be like, no, it's not. Like, take a second, be like, huh, let's look at this. Let's kind of walk around it. Now that I see that it exists, let's walk around it. Thanks to my mentor. And then they can continue to help you also think about it and evaluate it. And here's my experience. Like you said, these salty dogs that say, I've experienced this before multiple times over, and here's how it's worked out well, and here's how it's worked out poorly, and here's what I learned along the way.
Absolutely. And I think a hallmark of a good mentor-mentee relationship is that it's a little bit bidirectional. Mm. And I think this is where your and I's relationship has flourished, is, you know, on the organizational chart, I'm the COO where we work, and Cody's the VP of marketing. But our relationship is as such where we give each other an equal amount of feedback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're that leader, if you're a mentor and you're listening to this and you do all of the talking and none of the listening, well, you're failing your mentee, and in turn, you're failing yourself. Mm-hmm. Because we have blind spots. I don't care how senior you are. I don't care how salty you are. We've all got those blind spots. And, you know, and again, it ties back into the self-reflection a little bit, because it's a growing process for all of us. And if you find yourself in that mentor-mentee relationship and it's not bidirectional, then you've got some self-reflection to do to make yourself a little bit better.
Absolutely. And this goes back into also a little bit of what we talked about the other day, is that you have to understand the purpose. What is the purpose of self-reflection? It is to ultimately get better. It's to improve, right? And so with that, you have to approach this from the mindset that, again, I can very well be wrong, but that doesn't make me bad. That doesn't make the situation bad. This is a growth opportunity. But again, it doesn't feel good. But this goes back into what we talk about: be comfortable being uncomfortable. And that in so many times, you and I have discussed this at length, multiple occasions, and we're going to continue to do this because it's a consistent theme that is a truth that both you and I believe in, is that you cannot have growth without struggle. And more often than not, the proportion of growth that you experience is proportionate to the struggle that you experience also, right? So when somebody sits there as a mentor and gives you feedback, you know, like if you're mentoring me, or if I'm mentoring you, like, it is my job to make you uncomfortable. It's not my job to placate you. It's my job to make you uncomfortable, because it's my job to make you grow. And if you can have a relationship where that is established, like, you and I both know that, like, if you're giving me feedback, I know that it's coming from that place that you're wanting me to grow. And that helps me accept it. And because we do it, we practice it, we talk about this too, the more that you do it, the more comfortable you get with this process. But it's uncomfortable at first, but like anything else, the more that you do it, the more difficult it is. Now, David, what I want you also to talk about a little bit, if you can, since you talked about the military a little bit, talk about after action reports and what you've experienced with that. Because in after action, in AAR, you have some sort of a combat operation. Then immediately after that combat operation, the whole entire group, whether it's a SEAL or the Rangers or whatever it is, they sit down and they, no bullshit, reflect on it, regardless of rank, and they say, here's what went right and here's what went wrong. And then it's not a matter of like a personal shot. It's a matter of, let's just discuss it so we can learn. Talk about that a little bit, if you would, please.
Yeah, the AAR is something that's near and dear to my heart. It's it's an acronym for After Action Review, and it's something that I've brought and we use regularly at work to great effectiveness. And Cody, you talked about it, what it was for the most part, and it's, after anything, whether it's training, whether it's combat, whether it's an accident that happens administratively, you get the key players together that were involved in the process, And the first thing that you do is set ground rules. Thick skin, you know, be engaged in the process, you know, be honest, things like that. And it sets the groundwork for the attendees, again, to be open and honest, to be constructive, but to not take things personally that their peers have to say.
Right.
And then we start with what was supposed to happen. Okay. So for this, you know, we were supposed to implement X amount of software at this customer site. And the second part is what did happen. And then what you're going to find generally in any after action review is there's a variance between the plan and execution. And that's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. But then you start with sustains and improves. Mm-hmm. And that's where the deep dive in the after action review comes, is what will we continue to do relative to what we did? But more importantly, Cody, how can we get better? And that's where people get super uncomfortable having those discussions, is how do we get better? But like you talked about, the growth is in the struggle. The growth is in the climb. The growth comes in being able to identify and call out, whether it's yourself or your peer, or even harder, your boss, and say, hey, here's what I saw, and here's how I think it can be done better.
Right.
And then you obviously take in, it's nothing if you don't make it actionable. And it's nothing if you don't learn from it. It's just an exercise in wasting time if you don't turn those sustains and improves into something actionable.
Right. And the result of a proper AAR done well for the next operation that you go out into the field with your team is what?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
So if you are able to exercise the AAR appropriately, the after action report appropriately, and you go through it, what do you get on the other side that you can carry forward into the next mission?
Oh, higher level of performance. Self-awareness that allows for a higher level of performance.
There you go, right?
Via reflection.
So let's go with that, because we're at 19:30 right now. Mm-hmm. So tying, again, this is the updraft. We're going to constrain this to 20 minutes of discussion. So what I think is really awesome about the after action report, and if you're listening to this and you're trying to figure out a format, how do I self-reflect? What's a good place to start? Look up, Google the after action report in the context of the military, because what that does, it provides an appropriate framework, a really wonderful framework from some of the world's highest performers in the highest stakes of jobs, right? You can take that format, which is beautifully simple. It's not complicated. And you can take that format and apply that to your own bit of self-reflection. And that gives you a way to orient and think about things so that ultimately you can take into stock reality. You can examine it from multiple angles by involving a mentor in this. And then once you sit with it for a little bit and you get comfortable being uncomfortable, you have growth on the other side that you can carry forward to your next mission, engagement, interaction with whomever, and that you are ultimately better for it. And you have an iterative growth process that you're constantly learning, that you in turn can become the best possible person you can be. That's what the Upward Spiral is all about, so that you can then ultimately help other people grow and make your mark on this world. Dav, anything else you want to say as we wrap this up?
Nope. We're at the mark, beautifully said, and enjoyed it, buddy.
All right. I appreciate it. All right, everybody. So for those of you that are listening, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. Leave us a comment, reach out to us. All our information is should be in the description of this, whether it's the podcast or the YouTube that you're watching. Dav and I love hearing from you guys. So reach out to us. Let us know how we can get better. Anything that you want us to talk about, put that out there, and we'll bring that up. So guys, thank you very much, Davin. As always, a pleasure.
Until next time.
Later, dude.